warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Yes, this is The Catholic Man Show. Welcome, one and all. I'm Adam Minahan. I am sitting today in studio. We will return to studio. My partner, best friend, David Niles.
Howdy.
We are now back from Clear Creek Monastery. Done camping.
Done.
Back into the studio.
Done it.
You know, it's so crazy because it's like you plan for so long and then it just like blows by
fast. I know. We knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, we did. But anyway, welcome to the Catholic Man Show. Glad you guys decided to listen. Appreciate it. We do three things every episode. Dave, go ahead and tell them.
For ceremonial purposes. The three things we do.
I need to start like a light. Like I need to like get a candle. To start it, like the three things we do. Big old candle, three things that we do, and we light it every time we talk about it.
What's the purpose of the candle?
Ceremonial.
Oh, just for the ceremony?
Yeah.
Okay, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Sure.
If somebody wants to do that for us, send us a big candle.
Gotta be at least 50%, 51% beeswax.
That's right. That's right.
If it's gonna be liturgical, which this is not. But the three things that we do are one, open review and enjoy a man beverage. Two, highlight a man gear of some kind. And three, have a manly discussion, what some say is maybe the manliest discussion on the planet. Mm-hmm. That's what we do here on the Catholic
Man
Show.
Hence our warning.
And then the next episode, rinse and repeat.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So can I, before we get into our drink, can I tell you like what I did this weekend?
Yeah, tell me.
Or do we want to save it for the second segment? You want me to go ahead and just...
Why don't we introduce the beverage?
Okay.
And then you can tell it.
Okay.
I don't like waiting.
So much.
We do that sometimes where...
It's like, oh no,
we've got stories to tell. And yeah. It's like, meanwhile, I'm sitting and looking at this drink. And
okay. I that's why I asked. And I appreciate your answer.
Thank you. Yes. It was honest.
Yes.
So today, we're drinking... This is another Man Show first.
Yeah. I wonder how many more we can do of that.
Who knows, man?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Okay. Go ahead.
There will be a first episode where there are no more firsts.
And that'll be a first.
Indeed. It's like a self-defeating kind of thing. Okay, so the reason this is a first is because we're drinking a tequila here on The Man Show. Adam, I have tried to get Adam to let me bring a tequila on the show for a long time. Adam's past has prevented him from enjoying tequilas in the present.
And the future.
If you know what I mean. Bad decisions, folks.
Yeah.
Bad decisions.
For every action, there's a consequence.
Yeah. Turns out temperance is a... also kind of forms guardrails around your palate.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Okay, but today we're drinking a tequila. It's Antiguo? Antiguo? How do you say that? You know more Spanish than me.
Man, where's Juan? Can we phone a friend?
I'll spell it. Antiguo de Herradura.
I definitely think that's how you pronounce it.
Herradura.
Yeah.
Antigua de Herradura.
Okay.
So my brother-in-law, Father...
It's a Spanish Texan accent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got to be from the South.
Right.
To really get it.
Yes, sir.
But my brother-in-law, Father Sean O'Brien... went to Mexico to do a Spanish language immersion for 6 weeks. Basically, just going to swing by Mexico and learn Spanish.
I think that's the only way you can learn a new language is just complete submersion.
Well, it's not the only way, but I mean, it's certainly the fastest way.
Yeah.
And maybe the best way.
That's what I meant. I'm tired. I'm sorry.
Not what you said.
I know.
So that's what he did. And he does speak Spanish now. He already spoke Italian because he went to school. You know, he studied in Rome. And I guess maybe it's close. Whatever. But he brought this back for us. And it was a
whatever.
Yeah, whatever. it was a pretty funny story. He said he went into this liquor store and was asking for, you know, a good authentic Mexican tequila. And there was this lady and she's like, oh, I don't really know. And she asked one of the guys, one of the regulars there. And he's like, and he said,
Jose Cuervo.
Jose Cuervo. Yes. And Sean was like, no, I'm not buying Jose Cuervo. And so I think he essentially just went and looked and randomly picked one out. And this is what he got. And I already tried it. I tried it when he brought it to me. And it's fantastic. It's without a doubt the best tequila I've ever had. Because it drinks so smooth. I just drink it straight. Just like a whiskey. And it's awesome. It doesn't have that, what you, at least what I typically think of in tequila. Kind of that Montezuma, like where you got to grit your teeth afterwards to get it down. If you like, if you're,
it is a agave tequila, 100% agave, which is the good tequila, because agave is the one that doesn't give you hangovers afterwards.
Well, tequila is an agave beverage. So there's other types of agave liquors. Okay, tequila is one. Technically, it's all supposed to be made of tequila. So I,
you mean agave?
Agave. Yes. Thank you. So I used to work at that Mexican restaurant, which is escaping me now. Anyway, I used to work at a Mexican restaurant, and they gave us a
Abuelos.
Abuelos. Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
A short class on tequila, and this is what I remember of it. So I hope I get it right. if not.
I'd love to read you guys more, a little bit about this, but it's all in Spanish.
Yep. It's legit. So it's totally legit.
The bottle, yeah, it's all in Spanish, so I can't really tell you guys much about it, other than it's 38% alcohol by volume. And it has a pregnant lady with a strike through it. It has a car with a strike through it, and has a minus 18 with a strike through it.
Ooh, you only got to be 18 to drink in Mexico. Yeah. All right.
And that's all I can tell you about this bottle.
You're that college freshman?
Okay.
Mexico is your destination.
So anyway. I do have a little bit in mind to try. I also have a beer. So.
Yeah, let's cheers before we go into it.
All right.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers.
Just spilled it all over myself. Remember, you remember your first tequila? Okay, so here's what I remember about tequila.
Okay.
There are three types of tequila. There are technically three types. There might be a fourth. There's a there's Blanco. Adam's really struggling over here. There's Blanco, Reposado, and Añejo tequila.
Okay. This is Reposado.
Yes, so this would be the middle. Añejo is the highest grade. It's aged the longest. The cheapest is, I believe it's Blanco, which just means like white.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because it's aged up to 2 years in like a wax barrel or something.
What? Like, I think you should have Googled this before we start talking about it.
That is, let me just, yes. I mean, I'm really shooting from the hip here. But there's a reason why it doesn't turn a color. And I think it's because it's like there's a, whatever barrel they use, it's not like an oak barrel.
Okay.
Because once you move up to the Reposado, that's when I believe you go from, it's aged somewhere between 2 and 5 years in an oak barrel.
Okay.
And then the Añejo, Reposado means rested. I don't remember what Añejo means, but it's 5 years and above, also in oak barrels. And typically...
In oak?
Mm-hmm. Correct. And typically, you use the higher grade agave root in an Añejo tequila. And so then there's Jose Cuervo. No. What's the really like everybody wants
Patron.
To... Patron, okay? Patron is distilled 3 times, okay? And tequila connoisseurs will tell you that what they do is they filter out all of the qualities that really make it a tequila. And so they had to actually create a fourth category of tequila for Patron, just because it's not, you know, technically sure it's all this stuff, but it's white. They literally, all the color literally gets filtered out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I'm going to upset a lot of people by saying, like, I think it's overrated.
Oh, totally overrated. Patron,
it costs way too much money for what it is.
Super expensive, and it's not as good as this tequila that we're drinking right here.
I agree with you, and I'm not a tequila drinker.
Yeah. Patron is, yeah, sure, it's very...
I don't even like margaritas. Can you believe that? I don't even like margaritas anymore.
Oh, man. You need to pray for healing or something.
I'd like to ask all the listeners to please pray for me.
I mean, I'd like to enjoy, of all your prayers...
I would like to enjoy a margarita sometime.
Pour out your fervor into this one. to mix my metaphors, which I'm still doing... Mixed drinks, weak. You get it? Pouring them.
Yeah, I see what you did there.
Thank you. I'll be here all day.
Yeah.
I'll be here all for the rest of the hour. So anyway,
yeah.
Patron has its own category, which also means like white or something.
That's Blanco.
Yeah, maybe that's Blanco. And I, over the break, I will Google what these things are.
That's something we should have done beforehand. But you're welcome.
You're welcome.
We'll get back. We'll jump into the gear. Figure out what this tequila thing is. I'm going to tell my story. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side. So raise your glass. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. In case you're wondering, I'm on the winning team. The winning side. Just in case you want to know. I need to make a correction.
With this whole tequila debacle.
What I said previously.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. Look, I told you I was reaching deep. This is deep history, okay? I was in college. And this is literally a 30-minute course that we got. As you know, it's not something I studied. But I did get the classifications correct of...
Which is impressive.
Blanco, Reposado, and Añejo, okay?
Without you, like, looking that up, that's impressive.
Thank you. Blanco means white. Reposado means rested. Añejo means aged. But what I did not get correct was the years. Apparently, Blanco is not aged at all. Straight out of the distillery.
Straight out.
Yeah, straight out of Compton. And this is kind of, it's tequila in its purest form. And apparently, this will display the expertise of the distiller. If he can make a good liquor right out of the distillery, that's good to drink.
Yeah.
That would be tough to do. So then Reposado, and apparently there's more than three, but there's really only three. There's like a Joven. How do you say that in Spanish?
Joven.
Joven? Is it the J?
Hoven? Hoven?
But that's...
Dude, this is not, like...
That's just mixed. It's just when they take a rep...
I'm at the first CD with Rosetta Stone with the first Spanish, dude. You got to give me a little bit more time.
Yeah, you are. I forgot you were doing that. Why is it? Okay, but that's just when you take a Reposado or a Blanco and you mix it. So it's just mixed. Then there's
blend.
The Reposado is the second one. It's aged from like 3 months to 1 year.
Okay.
And Añejo is 1 year to 3 years. And then there's extra Añejo, which just means extra aged.
Extra good.
Yeah, whatever.
Goodness stuff.
So that's that was the correction I had to make.
Good. Good, good, good.
You can tell your story now.
Okay.
I know, like, you really want to.
Well, dude, I like...
It's a good story, I'm sure. I haven't heard it yet.
Yeah, you haven't heard it yet.
I'm sure it's good.
I'm sorry. No, I went hunting this weekend.
Yes.
And it, first time hunting. First time, man stuff. First time deer hunting. First time hunting in general. Up until this weekend, had not shot anything to kill. No license to kill. So I got my license, and I went down to Southeast Oklahoma, where all good hunting happens. This is like...
that's debatable.
Well, a lot of avid hunters would say Southeast Oklahoma is where to go for hunting deer.
Okay, it depends on what you're hunting.
Yeah.
Also, Kansas is pretty crazy because the corn...
Yeah, Kansas is really good, too.
I mean, they got big deer up there.
Yeah, that's true. So anyway, you know, I'm learning all this stuff. You know, I'm learning how, you know, making... I've never shot this gun before, this type of gun before. This guy who took me, he's like, okay, so you've shot a gun with a scope on it before, right? It's like, no, I've not. I would like to say yes, and I'm embarrassed to say no.
But I'm going to have to say no.
Yeah, I'm going
to... That would be a lie.
Right, and I don't do... I try not to do that.
Yeah, it's just a good thing to stay away from.
So he tells me, here's the target, shoot it, and I hit it dead on, exactly where he tells me, first shot. And he says, okay, shoot it again, you know, shoot exactly where you aimed again the second time.
Yeah.
And I was if you put a nickel or a quarter in between, you can put a nickel or a quarter in between my shot.
Yeah.
And we were probably like 80 to 95 yards, so
okay,
it was a decent... I mean, not... it's not like
that's
forever.
The benefit of a scope.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I shot it twice and was like, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I don't need to shoot it anymore. Let's go out there and kill some deer.
Yeah. Did you shoot it in the face? I've like always
no,
wondered why hunters don't shoot it in the face.
Because then you don't get to keep if it's a trophy deer, you don't get to keep it.
I think you could kill two birds with one stone.
No.
Pardon the metaphor. And you could shoot the antlers right off the head.
But a lot of times you want the whole head.
Yeah, I suppose.
So anyway, I decided, like, if I'm going to kill a deer, I want to be a part of the whole process. I want to shoot it, and I want to be a part of the cleaning, gutting, everything else. Like, I'm not going to just like say I'm going to kill this and like, hey, Joey,
yeah,
go clean this for me.
Right.
So I get out there and he's like, you may not see anything, but he was pretty positive we were going to see stuff because the cameras all were showing that we're going to see something.
Right.
So I pass on two bucks. Both 8-point bucks,
mm-hmm.
good sized bucks,
mm-hmm.
definitely shootable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, I'm just gonna wait to see if I can find something bigger. And 5 doe come up. They're all playing. It's cold outside. It's frisky. So they're all like jumping around. And anyway, and they're staring. They're about 10 yards from me, from the tree stand.
No
looking
kidding.
Up at me. Yeah, just looking at me. And of course, I'm dead stone, you know, stone still. And they didn't know I was there. And so
stupid. Yeah, they're stupid.
So and this is all like in the first 10 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. I see all this. For 20 minutes in, I see the deer.
This is it.
He's about 85 yards away. And, you know, he was telling me, like, you know, take a mental picture before the deer because, you know, he may start running. If you don't shoot him perfect, he's going to start running. You got to figure out exactly where it is. You know, you're 85 yards away, so it's easy to get discombobulated and figure out where exactly the deer is and where he actually ran. And, you know, so I was like, okay, I started getting a little nervous, you know, like, okay, here he is. And I get up there and I'm like, because I wanted to make sure I was going to kill something. You know,
yeah.
I passed on the first two. They're about the same size that I shot.
Yeah.
But I was like, I don't want to leave here and be like, yeah, I passed three up and I didn't get to kill anything. So I get up there. I shoot it. I pull the trigger.
Did you double lung it?
I not only double lunged it, but double lunged heart, and it went through the spine, broke its back, dropped like a sack of potatoes.
That was similar to be shooting it in the face.
I mean, it's the same effect.
Very similar.
Yeah. So anyway, I mean, it just dropped. And he told me first, like, you know, wait 15 minutes so it'll basically die. You know, because you don't want to get up there and if it gets crazy or, yeah, you know, adrenaline running, you
it'll
don't want
to attack you.
Yeah. Or run. Yeah, you get hurt. So anyway, I'm like, it's the longest 15 minutes ever, right? Because you're like all jacked up. I got him.
Right.
Anyway, so I get down there.
You could just walk up and shoot it in the face.
I'm not shooting a deer in the face, dude. So anyway, I get up there. Oh, I gotta hurry. Anyway, I gutted it. I helped gut it. I skinned it. I
How
did
was
everything.
It with the blood? Did you do okay? Because I know it's not your strong suit.
It was not easy, but I pulled through it. Powered I even through. saw the horns off, which you have to saw through the skull, down to the eyes, and then over. Like, it's not like a... It's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not stomach-wise.
You can't just, like, shoot them off.
Right. Exactly. So anyway, it was a lot of fun. And I felt good about it.
Haley proud of you?
Haley was proud. Everybody was proud.
All right.
So,
did you eat it?
I have all the deer meat in my freezer right now.
Sweet.
The back straps, the hind quarters, everything.
Dude, I had pheasant for dinner tonight.
That's pretty cool. Dude, we have like 4 minutes left.
All right. Well, we got to talk about the man gear, which is a straight edge today.
Okay. Whew.
Okay.
I feel exhausted after telling that.
Well, you had a lot of angst up, like wanting to tell the story, and it was a good story. I'm glad.
I'm glad you told it. It was just my experience.
Another first of the Catholic Man Show.
Yeah. I got to kill something. Kill the deer.
Sweet, man.
Yeah.
Not in the face.
I mean, you went hunting and you didn't see a single thing.
I just didn't even get the opportunity.
Right.
I had to shoot a bird.
Right.
Which might not have been legal. I don't know if there's a crow season. Okay.
pretty positive there's not.
I shot a crow. Please don't sue me. I'm not going to say what state it was in. That way,
it's in Kansas.
It wasn't in Kansas. Kansas, you're clear. Anyway, straight edge is the man gear today.
Okay.
This is something that I use a lot. That if you do any woodworking, you use a lot. You definitely use a lot. I don't even do a lot of woodworking, and I still use one of these.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, anytime you cut something,
right,
you end up using one of these. I mean, unless you're talking about cutting a log or something. But there's many, many different types of straight edge.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan of the right angle
because it's
still a straight edge, but sometimes you need a right angle on stuff.
Right.
Because you don't know.
And you got to have multiple sizes. That's the thing also. Yeah. Like, it's a slippery slope. You have to get a lot of sizes if you start using them, because like you have just a foot one, and then it's 2 foot, and you have to.
You can get some big ones.
Yeah, you can get a lot of big ones.
Yeah, and they kind of get out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, and it's like you might use this one time in your whole life,
right?
But we were talking a little bit about the straight edge. You might need it one time.
You need it
that one time, and it looks sweet on your wall.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah,
I love it
on your pegboard.
Yeah.
We were talking about the straight edge, and it just kind of thinking comparing it to the spiritual life. Man has a tendency to not be able to draw in straight lines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know how Adam was at this before the fall. Maybe he could draw the perfect circle.
I was pretty close, a
dead straight line.
I was pretty close
without a scope. But we in a fallen world, we need tools, spiritual, physical, to help us draw in straight lines. The spiritual ones would obviously be the sacraments, and even still it's not perfect, but we do arrive from point A to point B. If we are faithful.
What if it's straight edge for a circle? Because it's a circle.
Totally different man gear.
Same thing. It's the same thing.
It's called a compass.
No, it does not.
Anyway, you're listening to the Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan and David Niles. We'll be right back. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
The Catholic Man Show coming at you right now. I'm Adam Minahan with David Niles. I'm going to give one more quick thing about my hunting trip. Just one more. Really fast.
I will allow it.
Okay. So I was really excited also about getting there and just sitting in the quiet, waiting for the day to start. You know, just it being quiet, right?
Yeah.
When you get up into that tree stand, your senses are heightened big time. You hear things a little, I think it's probably your adrenaline, things like that.
Yeah.
You start hearing things a little bit more, you see things. I mean, your senses are just heightened. And so I was really excited about the quiet of the day. But then I got there and I was quiet and I realized, because of my, I guess, adrenaline, and my senses were peaking, how loud it really was. You had, you know, all these squirrels and the leaves and birds and all these different animals. And it was just like the beginning of the day was actually really loud, but it was only because I was being actually quiet and I was allowing myself to just take in what was happening.
That you could hear it.
Yeah, that I could hear it, which is a perfect adoration metaphor, because you sit in adoration and your senses, the grace senses get heightened, and you're actually thinking like, I'm going in there to be quiet and still.
Yeah.
And you actually hear what God is telling you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and they say there's also something called like the shower phenomenon or something, that you'll have your best ideas in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing when you're falling asleep, you have these sometimes really good ideas. It's because it's the only time in modern man's day where he clears his mind.
Right.
In the shower, typically, like, you're just not thinking about anything. You're just washing.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing there, you know, or in adoration. And it's like sometimes God, he needs you to
use that.
Calm down for a second, because he's trying to say something to you and like chill out.
Anyway, I was thinking about that like the whole time. I was like so excited about the quiet, and then I realized how loud it was because I was actually allowing myself to be quiet.
Yeah.
And my senses were so heightened and peaking that I realized a lot of things around me that I don't realize.
What's it like for your senses to peak?
I don't know. Go sit in a tree stand at 5:30 in the morning. You'll figure it out.
Okay. Maybe I will.
There's no segue from that to our topic. So here is our topic.
Thank you for your story, though.
You're welcome.
Okay, so we want to talk today about curiosity. As far as I know, this is the first time, and we're talking about curiosity even in the negative sense, bad curiosity.
Which, like, right before you got, or like right when you got here, I was like, you sent me a text message. This is how Dave works. Like, I sent him a text message like, you know, a week ago. It's like, hey, what are we going to talk about on the Catholic Man Show? And all he says is curiosity. I'm like, okay, that's all he says. He doesn't tell me anything else, like what angle he's going to go with it. He just, one word, sends me a text back. And so I'm
welcome.
Okay.
You're welcome.
And so all week I've been thinking like we're using curiosity in a different sense than what we're doing today.
No, dude. No, bro.
And to be honest, I didn't do really any research on curiosity because this is your topic.
You weren't even curious.
I wasn't even curious about it. No, wasn't even curious about it.
Impressive. Adam, impressive.
Thank you.
Especially given the sense in which we are discussing it today.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so
because
tell
if you had been, you'd have been a big sinner.
I guess, so tell him that, and then I'll tell him what I was actually thinking.
Okay, so we're talking about curiosity in the negative sense. Curiosity can be a vice. And so as far as I know, this is the first topic that is not a virtue, but rather a vice that we've done here on the Man Show. So another Man Show first today. A lot of firsts going on.
Yeah, burning a lot of firsts.
Something big must be going on in the universe for us, you know, doing this, just kind of coming together.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's what we're talking about, and we're going to talk about it. But you wanted to say something? What were you?
Well, I was just going to say, like, I was thinking, which you corrected me, but I'll just say what I was thinking, was that I was thinking curiosity could be a good thing because it leads you to figuring out truths. You know, like, as a scientist, I'm curious about how a human body... I'm not a scientist, but I was just saying, if I was a scientist, scientists are curious about how the human body works, thus, you know, leading you to what the truth of the human body is, which ultimately points to the truth, which is God.
Yeah.
Your creator.
Sure.
However, sure. My first premise is wrong.
So...
based on what you just told
me. Yeah, so there is a good desire for knowledge.
But that's not curiosity.
And St. Thomas Aquinas would call this studiousness.
Okay.
Okay. Curiosity is primarily is a desire of the flesh, typically, or of the senses. It's right here. Directed is towards the senses. This is Thomas Aquinas, blah, 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 blah. He's talking about the difference between studiousness and curiosity. He says there may be sin by reason of the appetite to study directed towards learning the truth being itself inordinate. And so then he says, well, there are four reasons why this could be. The first is when a man is withdrawn by a less profitable study to a study, he's drawn to one that's less profitable from one from which he is obligated. So, you know, if you should be studying for a test and you decide to instead go study, like let's say you have a big history test tomorrow and you instead decide to study apologetics.
How they make jelly beans.
Or how do they do that?
I don't know.
Good question. So that would be one thing. And if you have any good examples of any of these in your own life, we would all love to hear about them. So just let us know, okay? Secondly, when a man studies to learn of one by whom it is unlawful to be taught, as in the case of those who seek to know the future through demons. So that's pretty self-explanatory. If it's not lawful,
it's probably like witchcraft and things like that, yeah. Or tarot cards, things like that are like a sin.
This
like,
isn't why, but you know that is one reason that would cause a bad curiosity.
Okay.
Thirdly, when a man desires to know the truth about creatures without referring his knowledge to its due end, namely the knowledge of God. So if you are wanting to know, study biology just to see like kind of like, oh, let's kill this thing and take it apart to see how it works, just because that would be cool to know. Instead of ordering that towards, kind of like what we talked about the other day, between a natural virtue and a supernatural virtue. If God isn't the end of what you're doing, then it's not, it's not a meritorious act. And this is just what Thomas Aquinas is saying. People can obviously argue, especially with this one, that there could still be a value in studying biology for biology's sake. But Thomas Aquinas would say no. He would say no.
Really?
Well, when a man desires to know the truth about creatures without referring his knowledge to its due end, namely the knowledge of God.
But what if it was an atheist at first, and then he's studying it for the sake of wanting to learn biology, and by studying it for the sake of biology, he realizes, oh, this can't be just an accident. There has to be a creator. Thus,
are you suggesting that the ends would justify the means? I hope you're not suggesting that.
No.
That just because an end occurs, that
That's not what I'm saying.
Well, that would be my argument. Is like, just because an atheist might do something bad that leads him to God doesn't mean that he should do the thing that's bad.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Okay, so here's Aquinas uses an example here. He says, hence, Augustine says that in studying creatures, we must not be moved by empty and perishable curiosity, but we should ever mount towards immortal and abiding things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is what he's saying. That now, if you're a scientist, if your vocation is as a scientist, then obviously you are going to be studying, if you're a biologist, you're studying this because it's your vocation. It's what God has called you to.
Mm-hmm.
It's your state in life.
Right.
Okay. But let's say you just like, I really want to know what a dog's heart looks like. So you go kill a dog just to see what it looks. I mean, like, obviously, yeah, this is going to be bad.
Yeah.
And you could say, well, I learned something. I learned what a dog looked like on the inside. Well, that's kind of messed up.
Right.
That's kind of an extreme example, I think, of what he's saying here. And then so he goes on, fourthly, when a man studies to know the truth above the capacity of his own intelligence. This one, I think, is hard to grapple with. At least it is for me, because I think, well, that's one of the ways I've grown in my life is by pushing myself.
Right, yeah.
And
increase your intelligence is by pushing yourself to learn things that you don't know.
Yeah, so he says, but studying to know the truth above the capacity of his own intelligence, since by doing so, men easily fall into error. Wherefore, it is written, seek not the things that are too high for thee, and search not into the things above thy ability. And in many of his works be not curious, and further, for the suspicion of them hath deceived many, and hath detained their minds in vanity.
So I guess it's just more like, just make sure that whatever you're learning, you learn it according to your state in life.
I suppose, you know, that's a good rule to follow. I don't, you know, still, like, there are things, and remember, this is always about, are you doing this as your primary, you know, are you doing this during the day when you should be doing other things? We'll talk about this more after the break. Okay, good. More on the Lord's team, the winning side.
So raise your glass.
Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. Talking about curiosity today. And Adam, it's too bad that you do not like tequila, because this, I'm just very, very much enjoying this one.
What's it called?
I know
you don't know.
I don't. Antiguo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the best I can do. I admit it. That's as good as I can do. Okay, but we were talking about knowledge, studying things above the capacity of your intelligence. Let me just say, it takes humility for you to say, you know what, this is really just above the capacity of my intelligence. You had to open a beer to wash out the tequila.
I did.
I feel sad for you. I do. Like,
it's really because the listeners aren't praying hard enough.
Deep down in my soul,
I was expecting by this segment, my taste buds would have changed.
That a miracle would have occurred.
But they had been praying the first couple segments, yeah, and by now it would have changed. Okay, let's get back to it.
You just expect so much.
I expect miracles.
Yeah, I know. That's asking a lot. You selfish man. So anyway, we were talking about this, you know, knowledge and but I wanted to point out that we're all given so much recreation time in our life, and that it's like, oh, well, I'm not a biologist, I shouldn't be studying biology. Okay, that's true during the day when you should be practicing your vocation,
right?
Okay, like if you are a finance guy, you shouldn't be spending your day watching biology YouTube videos, okay? Because of a whole lot of reasons. Curiosity just being one of them.
My money's on the line, man.
Right. I mean, and, you know, you have a duty to do something else. Okay.
Right. Okay. So that's, I think everybody gets that.
Yeah, I think so too.
We can go on.
Okay. So then he's talking about, this is where he was talking about curiosity being of the sensitive appetite.
Okay.
Accordingly, to employ study for the purpose of knowing sensible things, maybe sinful in two ways. This is what he says. First, when the sensitive knowledge is not directed to something useful, but turns man away from something useful in the consideration. And then he gives this quote about where Augustine is talking about. He doesn't.
Augustine,
yes, thank you. He doesn't go to the circus to see a dog chase down a bunny rabbit. But if he were to happen to see a dog chasing a bunny rabbit on his walk, he could be easily distracted by it. And then it could cause him to be thinking about other things, which would make his mind foolishly dull. I think this is an example that made a lot more sense back in the day.
Okay. Yeah, because this is making...
I'm not gonna lie.
I'm feeling that dullness right now.
Yes. And if I saw a dog in a field chasing down a rabbit, I would absolutely stop and watch. No question. Right? I mean, it's like, who do you root for? The dog or the rabbit? In fact, this is in a movie, Snatch. Okay. They bet their bet on it. You know what I'm talking about? Have you seen that movie?
Yeah, I have.
Secondly, this is the second way it could be sinful. When the knowledge of sensible things is directed towards something harmful, as looking on a woman directed to lust.
Okay, so we've talked so much about, or maybe not so much, but we've talked about curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
And like all this stuff really leads up to that one for us today.
I think this is the most applicable to people.
Because
this has happened to me. Where you just, maybe you're on social media or the internet or you're just doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see maybe an account or a picture and you think, you know, is that bad? You know, is this an inappropriate website? Maybe, but I'm not sure. Let me just find out.
Right. But you know what's funny? I think that's happened. I think every guy can relate to that exact scenario.
Yeah, I've done that. And then you click on it and you're like, yep, it was. Why did I do that?
Right. Because here's the thing. Before you clicked on it, you know for sure it's not good.
Right. And even before you click on it, you already get that adrenaline rush. Like, I'm going to check it out.
At the best, it's neutral. At the best, it's a neutral thing.
Right. It's not some Christian website using sexy women to trick you into come reading about Jesus.
Right. So at the best, it's neutral. So here's the mind frame I think that I have to try to get myself into is that if I have to ask myself that question, like, ooh, is that something that I should be looking at or not? There's nothing good that can come from that.
Right.
So I just have to stop thinking about it.
It is just so hard to do.
Oh, it's so tempting. But you have to just, the temptation subsides is you don't give it the time of day.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Because you can't give it, you can't let yourself be thinking about it or like, ooh, well, what if it's this? Ooh, well, what if it's that? Ooh, what if it's, you know, A, B, or C, whatever that is.
Right, yeah.
And you let your mind start working.
Your curiosity
start working, and then you all of a sudden click on it or look at it, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The only way you can, okay, so Mother Angelica, they had a story of Mother Angelica when she was like on her deathbed for the years that she was,
mm-hmm.
and she was struggling. She was, you know, being both physically and they say spiritually tortured at times. She rolled over and saw the devil on her bedside, the foot of her bed. And she looked at him and said, oh, it's you. And rolls back over and goes back to sleep.
You stupid.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was like, you know, if it was me, there's no way I could do that. You know, because my curiosity would be killing me. It's like, what? I'm seeing something
right
now.
Well, she probably met him many times.
I'm sure. But, I mean, you know, that is how you defeat that. It's you don't give it a single time of day. You know,
right.
It's like, oh, it's you? I'm out.
Yeah, because, you know, in that situation, if I knew, this is this is an inappropriate website. It's very easy for me to say, okay, I'm not going to look at it. I'm not going to click on it. I'm not going to go.
Right.
I'm not going to look at this Instagram account or whatever it is.
Right.
I'm going to move on. But it's because I don't know. You know, mm-hmm. It's that curiosity that I have not yet defeated. You know, the virtue of, it's kind of temperance.
It's prudence.
Yeah, prudence. I mean, it's
being prudent in this decision.
Or visual temperance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Augustine, he talks about all of the curiosity having to do with all of the senses, but primarily visual. It's primarily
that hits with men.
Right, and it's like, and it's not just lust. I mean, he uses the word lust, but it's like lust of the eyes, and he means that in a broad sense. Like, he talked about stuff, and I think maybe a modern example would be people who want to go see a dog fight. They want to watch something get mangled,
mm-hmm.
you know? And why? You know, it's because they're curious about watching something die.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of along the same lines. It's this curiosity about what does it look like for something to,
well,
you know what else? Rubbernecking on the highway is totally about, it's all inappropriate curiosity. You know, like you're driving a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't be trying to get a look of whatever's going on. Everybody does it.
Right.
You know?
Right. I mean, that happens. Okay, you can even take it out of the lust situation and just out of, like, how much time do you spend, like, worrying about or reading an article about some celebrity that happened, you know, something happened in Hollywood or some, you know, you go to yahoo.com and you see all these stories that are happening. It'll eat an hour of your time looking at all these articles, and you're clicking on articles and reading about them. May not even be lustful, but you're just curious about something that has nothing to do with your state in life. It has nothing to do with what you're supposed
nothing
to be doing.
Nothing to do with your community.
Nothing to do with
your family.
Right. And it has, really, you're just reading it and wondering about somebody else's life or what happened or, you know, whatever that is, just for the sake of your curiosity.
And let's be honest, this happens all the time in the Catholic world about Catholic drama.
Yes. Oh, my God. Catholic Twitter is the worst about it. It's all about, what did this guy say? What did this priest say? What did this guy how did this guy react to this priest?
Right.
What did the Pope say? What did this cardinal say about this Pope? You know, it's like,
and or if you find out that, oh, there's like a drama thing, now it's like, oh, I want to know what it is
because I want to take a side.
Right, and I want to be in on it. You know,
right.
It is rampant.
Yeah.
In the Catholic world,
I'm really glad you brought that up because that has been bugging me for so long.
Yeah.
About how that works in the Catholic, you know, world. Did you read what somebody said, what somebody blogged about?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if it's nothing to do with us and it's not affecting what we're, you know, there has to be something where you have to continue learning about what our, you know, faith is, what's
right.
going on
I mean,
in our faith
got,
world.
You
and,
should be stay abreast about world events. Right. I mean,
right.
Just from a being a responsible Catholic citizen,
right.
you know, but once again, only because is it something you need to know?
Right. I mean, I think you follow that in politics. So, I mean, politics is a deep hole that you go down.
It's an abyss.
Yeah. You can sit there and learn about, well, what did this senator say? What did they say now? What did Trump say today? You know,
right. Who tweeted what?
Right.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah. What's Russia doing today? You know, it's just like over and over again. And ultimately, it doesn't matter.
Right.
With what you're doing right now.
It matters more with politics than it does with Catholicism because politics, you have a responsibility to vote. We don't vote as Catholics. You know, like the drama that's going on in the
Vatican.
Oh, no. I'm just saying with in the church, the drama that's going on in the Vatican, it's like it's almost inappropriate to have, you know, that's an inappropriate desire because you don't have a responsibility towards acting in the matter.
Right.
Which is tough. That's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, just like, oh, my friend is raising their child this way. How is he doing it this way? It's like, it's not your responsibility. It's not your child.
Right.
It's the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a curious episode.
Well, I hope you enjoyed it. This is the Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan and David Niles. We are on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass and cheers to Jesus.